This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Hate crime charges in New York. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kishinka, in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Tuesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A man accused of stabbing five people in New York is charged with hate crimes.
The man who killed two in a Texas church has been identified, while the man who killed him speaks out.
Wildfires burning across Australia's two most populous states have trapped 4,000 residents in a seaside town.
And champagne is no longer just for New Year's Eve.
Quite a few of them that have opened in the last 2-3 years. One of the biggest that has opened in New York, the Riddler, is actually a San Francisco offshoot. So they have one in San Francisco. And there are some all throughout the country. But yeah, the idea of building your bar around champagne seems to be coming into vogue right now.
Charles Passy of the Wall Street Journal will be here in about 20 minutes with more on champagne bars. Federal prosecutors have filed hate crime charges against the man accused of a stabbing rampage at a New York area home of a Hasidic rabbi during a Hanukkah celebration, saying he kept journals with references to Adolf Hitler and Nazi culture. 37-year-old Grafton Thomas, a former Marine with a history of severe mental illness, entered no plea during his court hearing in White Plains, New York, and was ordered to remain in custody. New York Attorney General Letitia James says members of the community rocked by the attack are expressing new concerns about hateful messages online.
The First Amendment applies to certain forms of hate speech, and it's really critically important that we balance the Constitution and the rights of individuals to express themselves, but not to act on it.
Defense lawyer Michael Sussman suggests Thomas was animated not by bigotry, but by a form of psychosis that may have expressed itself as anti-Semitism.
Before a narrative gets too set in stone, and before political leaders use this as a means of demagoguing about a particular issue, we need to know the facts.
Saturday's assault, which left five people wounded and followed a recent spate of anti-Semitic incidents in the greater New York City area, prompted law enforcement to further bolster its presence in Jewish neighborhoods across the region. Texas authorities are still trying to determine the motive behind a shooting attack on a church outside Fort Worth on Sunday, which left three people dead, including the suspected gunman. The victims from the shooting at the West Freeway Church of Christ in suburban White Settlement were 64-year-old Anton Wallace of Fort Worth and 67-year-old Richard White from nearby River Oaks. Authorities identified the suspected shooter as 43-year-old Keith Akinnanen, also from River Oaks, who an FBI agent described as relatively transient. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
When you have a dead shooter, motivations are a lot harder to find unless something's been found in writing.
State troopers said the incident happened shortly after Kinnanen entered the church and sat with parishioners. During the service, he pulled out a shotgun and fired the weapon at the two men, who later died of their injuries at a local hospital. The suspect himself was fatally shot by a parishioner named Jack Wilson.
You have to be proficient and you have to be willing to use it. Otherwise, there's no sense in wearing it, because you don't bluff with a firearm, because you'll end up eating it.
Wilson posted comments to a Facebook page for his campaign to run for office as a local county commissioner. He is a former owner of an area gun range, and his page contains a slogan, "Your vote is on target." A pilot who was killed Sunday after his small plane crashed into a home in Maryland has been identified as a 61-year-old man from the Bronx. Gordon Allen died when his single-engine plane crashed before 3 p.m. in Lanham. According to an initial investigation, the plane left the College Park Airport just minutes prior to crashing. The plane hit the carport of a home, then struck a vehicle before it caught fire. The crash also caused the car and the attic of the house to catch fire. The owners were away on vacation. No one was home when the plane struck. Doug Brazzi, an air safety investigator with the NTSB, says authorities expect to issue a preliminary report within 10 days.
Our examination of the engine is ongoing and continues, and we have not been able to make a determination on that yet because we're not finished.
No one on the ground was injured, but 18 homes in the area lost power. Allen was the only person on the plane. It's 11 minutes after the hour.
Have you realized yet the things you wanted to do in 2019 but didn't? So one goal I have for the new year is being more connected with others around me. The best way I found to maximize my time searching and filtering through information on how is through Blinkist. You see, Blinkist takes key insights from over 3,000 nonfiction books in over 27 categories and turns them into 15-minute text and audio explainers called Blinks. Blinkist helps me to understand the core ideas of each book. So when I'm commuting to and from work, Blinkist is great for me to get into a topic quickly, find new ones, and figure out which books I want to read or listen to, like How to Make People Like You in 90 Seconds or Less by Nicholas Boothman. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/morning.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal on this New Year's Eve. Thanks for spending part of it with us. A few years ago, most of us hadn't even heard about or thought much about vaping. Now it's been one of the major stories of the year. But what do we really know about vaping? Jane O'Donnell of USA Today has researched some myths and misconceptions about illnesses tied to vaping and joins us now. Jane, are problems arising from vaping nicotine or marijuana?
Most people that have ended up hospitalized with lung illnesses, almost all of them, like 80%, vaped either THC alone or THC with nicotine. And the only thing, only true culprit that the federal and state investigators have honed in on is vitamin E acetate, which is an ingredient added to vape THC oil to kind of, it's like a combination of thinning and thickening, in it, if that makes sense, but it's basically to, you know, make it work better in the device, but also it makes it go farther. So the lung illnesses really are THC, but there are a stubborn number of, say, 10 to 20% of people insist they only vaped nicotine. So investigators are trying to figure out whether they are young people who weren't fully candid, or there is something that's causing lung illness from nicotine vaping.
Is that vitamin E acetate been found in all THC products, or is that not clear either?
Yeah, not all of the ones. Most of the ones the government has tested, but not every single one. But they really do think it is the big cause. But they are very insistent on that they are still investigating and looking into other ingredients. I mean, I will say that I have reported, as have others, about a variety of cases around the country that had very high doses of pesticides in the products. It's often unclear what's quote unquote legal and what isn't, because you might be thinking you're buying from a legal dispensary and it might be an unlicensed dispensary. So there are all sorts of gray areas when it comes to buying THC marijuana, that is.
We're speaking with Jane O'Donnell of USA Today. Now, Jane, as you kind of alluded to, sometimes these products are bought online or in stores, and then we heard stories about perhaps the people who were getting ill were getting them from some odd source that, you know, wasn't regulated. Is that true?
Oh, yes, very much so. So, I mean, sometimes they're called street dealers, but street dealers can be all sorts of things. I've interviewed a man who went to a very large outdoor kind of, like, for lack of a better word, like an open air flea market kind of thing, for marijuana-related products, where they were selling some of these dank vapes and some of these other brands that were found to be only counterfeit. They are not, none of them were ever sold legally. And they very much, they were, you could buy the, like so many things, you could go online and buy the cartridges in China or somewhere else, get them shipped here, and then people were kind of like the meth labs or whatever. You know, people were at home making these kind of horrible concoctions that included pesticides and other things, and putting them in the devices, naming them something, buying the labeling overseas, and then creating a product that looked just like a legitimate product that already existed, or just looked like a legitimate product. So yes, that was a very big part of the problem.
So in very general terms, if perhaps 80% of the lung illnesses have been tied to vaping marijuana, should people who are vaping nicotine be concerned?
Well, for a variety of reasons, yes, but different levels. I tell people that, you know, I was fairly freaked out by the nicotine vaping by young people. Certainly in my town in Northern Virginia, I'm from New England, but where I live in Virginia, it's like two different states, Northern and Southern, Southeast Virginia. So when I go down to Southeast Virginia or even to, say, the Tidewater region, it's like a different world. There's a lot more smoking, but you never see, you rarely, if ever, see a teenager smoking, and very rarely see an adult smoking up here. But it was nicotine vaping had kind of taken over the high schools here, as everywhere. About one in five high school kids are vaping now, vaping nicotine now. But so you're addicting a whole generation to nicotine, and nicotine, people that have been addicted to heroin and all sorts of other things tell me it's like the hardest thing to quit. So you leave open the possibility that they will turn to cigarettes when they can't get their nicotine fix. But then there's also many questions that remain, and people that are anti-vaping are adamant that there are carcinogens, and we're starting to get more evidence that there could be health problems in these vape devices.
Thanks, Jane. Jane O'Donnell of USA Today. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with three things you need to know this morning.
Well, Jen, number one, 37-year-old Grafton Thomas appeared in federal court late yesterday for an initial hearing on new hate crime charges. He's already charged with five counts of attempted murder for allegedly bursting into the home of a Hasidic rabbi in the New York City suburb of Monsey Saturday night and stabbing five people celebrating Hanukkah. Patrick Brosnan runs a security company providing armed guards for the community.
We have decided to provide this armed patrol until further notice, until we determine at which time, I can't say. Could be a month, could be 6 months. Free of charge. We'll volunteer our services around the clock. We're going to protect the neighbors.
Number two, the Texas church security volunteer who killed a gunman after he opened fire during a Sunday morning service is identified as Jack Wilson, a trained reserve deputy.
I don't feel like I'm a hero. I was doing what I needed to do to protect the people of the congregation.
Anton Wallace and Richard White died after Keith Kinnunen opened fire during the morning service. He had a history of violent crimes, but authorities haven't identified a motive. Thousands of people, number three, have gathered outside the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad to protest against recent U.S. airstrikes on an Iran-backed Iraqi militia. The protesters marched into the heavily fortified Green Zone, chanting death to America and burning U.S. flags. Several thousand homes and businesses in New England are in the dark from an icy winter storm from the Berkshires in western Massachusetts and Connecticut to higher elevations of New Hampshire and Vermont. In Maine, Governor Janet Mills ordered state offices closed early as conditions deteriorated. The storm will end as rain across southern sections today, as snow to the north. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo travels to Ukraine Friday, the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit since President Trump's July phone call to Ukraine's president that sparked Trump's impeachment. A State Department spokesman says the one-day trip reaffirms U.S. support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Well, we all laughed at that story about people calling the cops because they mistook the noise from their Roomba vacuum cleaner for a burglar. But Baltimore police responding to a report of a breaking and entering definitely didn't expect to find a deer in the home, a large male deer. The buck had crashed into the home through a window Saturday night and freaked out, causing thousands of dollars of damage before the cops were able to coax it outside.
Doesn't surprise me at all. There's so many deer running amok all over the place.
in front of the car.
Just jumping through a house window, though.
Scary stuff. That's scary, actually. Thanks, Rosick. Well, on this New Year's Eve, you've heard of brew pubs and wine bars. How about champagne bars? Bubble establishments want you to know that champagne isn't just for New Year's anymore. Charles Passy of the Wall Street Journal has taken an in-depth look at the champagne scene and joins us now. Charles, where are these champagne bars?
Well, I was focusing specifically on New York, and there have been quite a few of them that have opened in the last 2-3 years. One of the biggest that has opened in New York, the Riddler, is actually a San Francisco offshoot. So they have one in San Francisco. And there are some all throughout the country. But, yeah, the idea of building your bar around champagne seems to be coming into vogue right now.
All right, physically, what do they look like?
Well, they're bars. I mean, there are bars and slash restaurants. So you don't necessarily have to imagine them being different in structure. One of them that we wrote about, which is it's kind of a pop-up within a larger bar in New York, Mr. Purple, which is sort of a bar, rooftop bar, is actually set up as kind of a ski chalet, if you can imagine. So that one has a special theming. But, you know, they're not necessarily any different per se than any other bar. I mean, there also is a restaurant that brings out champagne trolleys, so I suppose that's another visual spin. But it's a bar.
All right, Charles, do these champagne bars have special events where they have tastings? What do they do for the public that might be a little different?
Well, I think the key thing that they're doing that's different is sort of expanding the depth of champagnes that are offered. So that, you know, what there is, I mean, these bars have, instead of, you know, if you typically think of a bar or even a restaurant, might have a few different champagnes, typically something on the higher end, something on the lower end. These places, I mean, one of them in New York has 300 different champagnes on the list. So you're getting a whole range of flavors. There's a particular focus on smaller producers, often what are called grower champagnes, and so that these are growers that are not going to be, you know, your Dom Pérignon or your Cristal, but they actually, in some cases, the reason they're called grower champagnes is these are winemakers in France that are sort of growing grapes for the big houses, but they can also make their smaller own releases. So you're really just getting a wide range of flavors. One of the champagne parlors in New York, it's actually called Is Champagne Parlor, does a fun little riff where they offer champagne on ice, and they kind of call it the What Would Bill Murray Do champagne selection. The reason being is Bill Murray, the very funny actor, tends to drink his champagne on ice, supposedly, so they made a whole riff on that. Some bars also offer, these are the kind of places where you might find a deeper selection of champagne cocktails, because champagne works wonderfully in cocktails. So there is that aspect too. But, you know, it's very much about the depth of selection.
We're speaking with Charles Passy of the Wall Street Journal. Would the champagne industry, in quotes, try to attract people who don't really know anything about champagne, or are these bars catering to people who already are somewhat connoisseurs and can tell the difference between this kind and that kind?
I think the answer is somewhat in between. I think what's happening is that we're sort of moving into a period where people are understanding there's a little bit more to champagne, and these bars are giving them a license to explore.
Charles Passy of the Wall Street Journal. It's coming up on 30 Minutes After the Hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
On this Tuesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rosa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines. Hundreds of Iraqi mourners attempt to storm the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice has approved a recommendation to fire all the graduates of a West Virginia Division of Corrections and Rehabilitation training class who appear to be giving a Nazi salute in a photo. Ousted Nissan CEO Carlos Ghosn has fled to Japan, where he's facing trial for alleged financial wrongdoing. Michelle Obama repeats as most admired woman in Gallup's 2019 poll. And nuptials exchanged at a Dunkin' Donuts. That story in about 20 minutes. This business update is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One, NA, member FDIC. It's that time of year again, time for New Year's resolutions, even for managers. This morning's Gordon Deal has more.
We're speaking with Kevin McHugh. He's the president of JKM Management Development, also co-host of a podcast called Sheer Clarity, and he's got a list of New Year's resolutions that you can apply to home and work. One of the things you say is to be more vulnerable, but how do you do that?
Well, you got to understand the definition of what it means in the context of business. It means you're more open than you're used to being, but in a particular category. Basically, you're open about what you're not good at, what you don't know. People are afraid of showing what they think is weakness, and that's what vulnerability is originally perceived as. And it's actually not. There's a great author out there who's been around for a long time and very popular. Her name is Brené Brown, and she's sort of the pioneer on this. And she found out that most people are disconnected, and at some level it's because they're hiding. They're not being honest. They're not being truthful. And they're not being honest about the stuff that makes them vulnerable, which is, I'm afraid of this. I don't understand that. I wish I knew more. And if you get an executive who is never allowing themselves to sort of be felt, seen, and heard at a heart level, a la more vulnerable, people have a hard time connecting with you. And if they can't connect, they can't trust you.
Right. I was going to say, what's it do for you then if you work on this of being more vulnerable?
Absolutely positively opens you up to being much more attractive to other people. Because that's how people connect. People connect at the heart, first and foremost. Everybody's got a radar, right? The moment you encounter each other, you encounter me, I encounter you, we have an inside scanner, and the scanner is making a decision. Should I trust this guy? Seem like a good guy. And vulnerability, being open, transparent, and, you know, just okay with not being perfect, that is highly attractive to other people. And it invites them to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So now if I've got a team working together, and people are totally safe, unafraid, the trust that the other people have their best interest in mind. When you go to attack a problem or create a new solution or innovate something, it just flows. The energy is wide open. But when people are in a protective mode, a la, don't be vulnerable, you don't get the best quality.
What do you mean by be more conscious of the power of trust?
Well, in a nutshell, it's really about, do you have in the top of your mind the power of, A, trusting others and what it means to trust them and how powerful that is, and if you don't trust somebody, how much it causes you to shut down. And you also have to be conscious that as a leader, one of the branding items I want is I want people to say, I trust that guy.
Yeah.
So people aren't actually, what the word conscious means, I'm literally working on, care about, and want to be known as a person you can trust. And so if you're not conscious, you just go through the day, guess what happens? You have transactions with people which are just transactional. So, you know, leaders, here's the problem. Everybody is so freaking busy, wired, intense, getting stuff done, that the actual consciousness of, hey, I'm here with another human. What do they think of me? Do they trust me? I actually have executives just point blank look at each other and say, do you trust me?
We're speaking with Kevin McHugh. He is the president of JKM Management Development in Ohio, also host of a podcast called Sheer Clarity. He's put together a list of New Year's resolutions that you can apply to both home and work. Finish up with being committed to a better work-life balance, because it's something everybody talks about or wants to do, but how do you actually do it?
This is a tough one. The answer is simple and very hard to apply. What will you say no to in order to balance your life? for the most part in the executive world, it's out of balance because they're working so much. So many hours committed. The devices are like 24/7, right? So even if somebody uses the phone as an alarm clock, they lay it down on the table beside the bed. And if they see the light go on at 3 a.m., they happen to be awake, they pick it up. And they start, that's not balance. Turn the phone off. Say no to your phone. Say no to being available so that instead of people being able to reach you at 24/7, they can't reach you at certain times.
That's executive coach Kevin McHugh with this morning's Gordon Deal. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Have you realized yet the things you wanted to do in 2019 but didn't? So one goal I have for the new year is being more connected with others around me. The best way I found to maximize my time searching and filtering through information on how is through Blinkist. You see, Blinkist takes key insights from over 3,000 nonfiction books in over 27 categories and turns them into 15-minute text and audio explainers called Blinks. Blinkist helps me to understand the core ideas of each book. So when I'm commuting to and from work, Blinkist is great for me to get into a topic quickly, find new ones, and figure out which books I want to read or listen to, like How to Make People Like You in 90 Seconds or Less by Nicholas Boothman. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/morning.
Jennifer Kishinka in for a Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. It's time to go beyond the headlines. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you've ever had a job that you realized you just weren't very good at, perhaps you can sympathize with this Colorado man who apparently has decided that stealing cars just isn't for him. According to Fox News, the 36-year-old named Todd Sheldon has tried to steal multiple cars in recent weeks but was caught every time. Sheldon was caught in Jefferson County earlier this month trying to break into a car but was caught by the homeowner. Just before deputies arrived, he escaped. Moments later, however, authorities found Sheldon just down the street trying to break into another vehicle. Sheldon was taken into custody, booked into jail, and later bonded out. But as noted by Jefferson County officials, the story doesn't end there. Last week, deputies responded to a report of a man breaking into a car and said when they arrived at the scene, they again saw Sheldon trying to break into a vehicle. It was at that point he allegedly admitted to a deputy, "I really suck at this."
Maybe in 2020 he can find something else to do.
I mean, at least he's admitting it, right? I mean, some of us, you know, we're really bad at things and we just can't admit it. At least he's finally figured it out.
Well, he shouldn't be running around trying anymore.
No, no.
Let's stop this.
Yes,
right here,
yes, yes.
Right
we'll,
now.
Yes, yes. We'll make a resolution
done,
for the new
Todd,
year.
Done, Todd. Find something else to do.
Do something else. And one of the things we might remember about 2019 is the rise of online sports betting, with more people being able to legally lose more of their money just by swiping their smartphones. One of the most head-scratching bets of the year came in the NFL season's final week, as one gambler reportedly lost nearly $75,000 wagering that the New England Patriots would easily take care of the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. An easy assumption to make given that the Pats were 17-point favorites and needed to win the game for better playoff seeding. Unfortunately for this person, thanks to a dose of Fitzmagic, the Dolphins upset the Pats and cleaned out many bettors' wallets. The most head-scratching part of this bet may have been the fact that due to the steep odds, the bettor would have only won $4,600 on their 75 grand bet if New England had actually won.
You have to go long sometimes, we've been told. Right?
Yes, yes. And you and I just discuss gambling and, you know, you won't do any of it. You don't even play the lottery, right?
To no.
you, that's
waste
too much.
Waste of money.
Yes.
Total waste of money.
Yes, and I, you know, I talk about Gordon, you know, I talk about sometimes putting down some of these bets here in New Jersey. We can do that legally. You know, I'm putting down $10, maybe $20, and you think I'm crazy even for doing that. $75,000, it's a bit out of my league.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think you probably have a little bit of a problem if you're putting down $75,000 just to net $4,600 if you wind up winning.
Yeah, that's so silly. Now, if you had told me this, the guy put all this money on the Dolphins, he wanted a tremendous amount of money,
right,
it would be the smart thing to do.
But right, yeah. He would have won like hundreds of thousands, yes.
I don't know. Yeah, that's. I'll keep my money in my pocket.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right, it's 13 minutes before the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Petty Poppies, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. Want to feel better in the new decade, both mentally and physically? Volunteer and do good deeds. Studies show that putting the well-being of others before our own without expecting anything in return actually improves our health. Volunteering has been shown to minimize stress and improve depression. It can reduce the risk for cognitive impairment and can even help us live longer. It also appears that giving can help us cope with pain. A new series of studies may have found one reason why. Regions of the brain that react to painful stimulation appear to be instantly deactivated by the experience of giving. These studies tested various scenarios of altruism in 287 people. One found that those who volunteered to give blood after an earthquake experienced less pain than those who did a routine test, despite the use of a larger needle. And a second discovered people who freely gave their time to revise a handbook for the children of migrant workers experienced less pains when exposed to cold temperatures than people who did not volunteer. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa Kay is here with three things you need to know this morning.
Number one, Jennifer. Already jailed on 5 counts of attempted murder, New York Hanukkah stabbing suspect Grafton Thomas has now been charged with hate crimes in the case of federal offense. State Attorney General Letitia James met with elected officials and faith leaders in the town of Muncie.
We also talked a lot about education and educating individuals on the ground with respect to anti-Semitism and with respect to the Jewish experience as well as the African-American experience in this country and the bonds between those two groups.
Number two, the man who fatally shot two people at a Texas church on Sunday is identified as 43-year-old Keith Kinnunen of River Oaks, just a few miles east of where the shooting took place. Kinnunen had been arrested several times in the past decade. He was killed within seconds of opening fire at West Freeway Church of Christ in White Settlement. Number three, Australia is calling on support from U.S. and Canadian fire crews and is sending naval vessels and military choppers to its east coast. Bushfires are bearing down on several seaside towns there, trapping residents between encroaching flames and the ocean. Steve Warrington is with the fire authority.
It is pitch black. It is quite scary in that community. The community are right now under threat, but they will be. We will hold our line, and they will be saved and protected.
Authorities say two people died overnight in the fires that have killed a total of 11 since October. Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn is in Lebanon. Stunned Japanese officials are trying to figure out how he jumped bail for financial misconduct charges in Japan, where he was under house arrest. He had turned over his passport and wasn't allowed to leave the country. Friends of Ghosn say he didn't believe he'd get a fair trial in Japan and was, quote, tired of being an industrial political hostage there. Some 2,000 unvaccinated students won't be allowed to return to class in Seattle after January 8th unless they can prove they've been vaccinated against measles. The city's hosting a free clinic Friday to get students' immunizations up to date. Washington State has been coping with two measles outbreaks this year. And new totals from the Census Bureau show how warmer and less expensive southern and western states are not only gaining population, but eventually political power. After the 2020 census, Texas could pick up two new congressional seats. Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, and Oregon expected to gain one. Among states expected to lose a seat, California, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and West Virginia.
We'll see how that affects things next year. Very interesting. In 1992, a young couple's heart-to-heart conversation over coffee at Dunkin' Donuts led to broken hearts. More than 27 years later, their story had a happy ending when Valerie Sneed and Jason Roy were married at the very same Dunkin'. The Worcester Telegram and Gazette says in 1992, the couple decided they needed to go their own way for a while so Sneed could go to college and pursue a career in the performing arts, and Roy could join the Navy. They ended up not seeing each other for 25 years. They had gone from each other's lives, but they were not forgotten. Then in February of 2018, they connected again. Roy showed up at a Valentine's Day musical review Sneed was starring in. Sneed saw him sitting in the front row and got so nervous she was shaking. 3 months later, she packed her bags and moved in with Sneed, who proposed to her last New Year's Eve. They were married last week at the same Dunkin' Donuts where they had their heart-to-heart 27 years ago. Dunkin' was still open for regular business as the nuptials took place. At 1 p.m. Friday, invited guests were on one side waiting for the bride to arrive as cameras clicked and a couple of TV crews lined up shots. Regular customers got their orders at the counter as coffee makers continued to work. Sneed sang part of the song Marry Me as part of her vows before she and Roy were pronounced husband and wife. And that'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.